everyone, and welcome to Thursday Live Lessons here on ukuleleontheground.com. My name is Aldrin Guerrero, joined by Mr. Aaron the Voice Nakamura. Say what's up, Aaron.
What's up?
And by Mr. Kahai the Legend Ferguson. Say what's up, Kahai.
What's up?
I should rename you to the responsible one, Aaron Nakamura, because the reason why Aaron is sitting here is because we were supposed to do our songs were due today, Kahai. Yeah. Our songs were due today. And if you guys don't know, here on Thursday Live Lessons, we usually do a songwriting challenge. And we give ourselves 2-3 weeks to complete them. And then whenever we complete them, we give you guys an extra week to kind of, you know, to do them as well. So we give you guys the chords, we give you guys the styles and stuff. Just pretty much a guideline of what the songwriting challenge is. And then you go do it yourselves also. So it's kind of fun. You know, we all kind of do it together. But I come into the office today and I'm like, oh no, I saw how the chairs were arranged. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't write my song. I mean, I wrote something, but it's not enough. And my past like few songs have been super like short and lame. So I'm like, nah, I kind of want to try this. I kind of want to give this one like the old college try. So I don't have mine. And Kyle, I'll let you explain yourself.
Yeah,
I had a song.
Yeah, yeah.
I was working on my song.
Yeah,
I was working on my song, yeah. and actually posted like bits of what I had done to the U Plus forum.
Yeah, because
like me and Alan were talking on the U Plus forum about posting like what as we're going through and working on it.
Updates, progress. Yeah,
yeah, and I have like some of it done, but then. When I tried to turn on my computer that I worked on the song on yesterday, it wouldn't turn on. And then I spent all yesterday trying to fix that computer, and it is just gone.
Oh.
I have to get like a new part for it or something to fix it. So
yeah, mine too. I was working on it on my computer, and it just fried. I don't know. There was a goblin that came out of the of the tower. I was like, what? Have you been there the whole time? You know.
Yeah, so
it was awesome too. Trust me, guys, that song was great.
It's so good.
I need to just write a song about the song that I wrote.
Yeah,
even
a tribute to that song that I wrote.
So even the song that I was working on, I probably won't get done by next week because I need a whole new motherboard for my computer. So I'll probably write something else. Just
give us an acoustic taste, maybe. Yeah. Acoustic taste. Yeah. Give us an acoustic.
I'll just write something on my guitar or something else. You know, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do it in the what are those little things that you gave me for Christmas?
What are they called?
What are they called?
They're by Teenage Engineering, and they're called. Like
pocket operators,
yeah.
So I'm like, I was thinking of like buying another one and connecting it with the one that I had because I've been watching these videos like online and stuff. And they're like, my goodness, like they make some amazing stuff. I was like, oh, because I can make some pretty cool stuff with the one that I have, but when people link them, it's pretty awesome. Anyway, so if you guys are wondering what we're talking about, if you guys are watching this as a replay, the show notes should be below, and there should be a link to what we're talking about. Anyway, Thursday Live Lessons is a place where we answer any and all of your ukulele questions or non-ukulele questions, whatever it may be, whatever we can answer as a collaborative team, myself, Aaron, and Kahai, whatever you guys want to ask us via email, via UUplus forums, via anything, really. We are live, so it's Thursday Live Lesson. We do have a live chat. Utilize the live chat and ask us some questions, and we'll answer them as best as we can. So I'm going to answer them, and these two guys will come in, put their 2 cents in there. We'll come up with a super answer for you. Nice, hot, and freshly baked. Right? I'm going to give you a baker's dozen answers.
Yeah, I never understood I never understood baker's dozen.
Oh, it's 13. 13, right? Yeah. I don't know. One for the
dozen,
one for taste. Like, yeah. This is fine. So I guess I'll put the dozen out. Speaking of which, Uncle Ian, thank you for the donuts this morning.
Is that like? Wait, is when you go to a bakery and you ask for a baker's dozen, do they give you 13, or is that just like?
I don't know. Actually, I don't know. I've never gotten 12 of anything.
Yeah,
if
that's
I go
why.
To a bakery, like, it's like I'm gonna get one of each kind of thing. You know, I'm not gonna get a dozen. Give me a dozen of whatever.
We also don't have a ton of bakeries here on Kauai.
No,
we have a few.
Daylight
but,
Donuts.
Yeah,
and there's
Kauai Bakery.
Like Kauai Bakery, and there's Love's. And that's it.
There's
Love's pretty good, though. Shout out to Love's. Please sponsor us. We'd love some bread.
There's one across of Tip Top, too, right?
Yeah, which one's that?
I forget what they're called.
But they're like a special bakery place, like Kokoro. Is that what they're called?
Yeah, yeah. Kokoro? They made my sister's like cake and like.
Oh, cool. Yeah, they do like specialty puffs and whatnot. All right, this is nothing to do with ukulele, so let's go to the live chat and see if we can get an ukulele question going. Kahai.
So there is this is actually a question that somebody emailed me. So John said. I played. Let me see. Where is it? Where did this start? Or I played the 5-string banjo many years ago, and I adopted a 3-finger style of picking using the thumb, pointer, and middle. Mm-hmm. I use the ring and pinky for anchoring. In addition, as much as possible, I tried to position my hand so that the picking fingers pick the string at a perpendicular angle. This all seems to work well in the rolling action of the 3-finger pick.
Yeah.
I find the use of the ring finger in picking feels awkward and does not give the anchoring stability to the picking hand. I would be interested in your thoughts about this. Are there any advantages or disadvantages to this? 4-finger picking seems to be unnecessary on a 4-string instrument.
I mean, that's a guy I agree with 1,000%. Preaching to the choir. Yeah, preaching to the choir, man. I love everything you just said, because everything you just said is 1,000% like what I mean, I tried
your
style. Yeah, my style of playing ukulele, you know, like it's these 3 fingers. A lot of people will tell you like, oh, use 4 because there's 4 strings and stuff. But especially reentrant like ukulele, I would say that 4 is redundant. You know, that this ring finger is redundant. And I always explain it this way to people. When's the last time you used your ring finger for anything? You know, and the reason why, it's because if we were to use all 4 fingers and kind of assign a different string to each finger, we would have it. Our ring finger on the A string, which most, if not all, of my melody line is coming from. And since I don't know when the last time I use my my right hand ring finger on anything, but you know, it's not going to be the strongest finger. I don't want to put my my most important string, you know, with all the melody lines in it, to my, you know, least used finger. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to delegate it that way. So I use these 3 because, you know. Driving around Kapaa, I do use my middle finger a lot, so that gets a lot of use. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. These 3, they're so strong. I can control these 3 fingers rather well and stuff, and I don't mind using my middle finger for that A string. And whenever possible, I use that middle and the pointer, you know, for the A string whenever possible. So I have 2 of my strongest fingers on my right hand ready for the main melody line string. And the thumb just kind of uses, you know, I use the thumb as kind of a, what is it called? A drone for the G, just like how you would with a banjo or with a, you know, or any of those kind of instruments and stuff with reentrant, and going from C and G, kind of using the G as more of a technique, kind of like, you know, like the kind of G pull off, just like how you would with a banjo. And when I'm doing, when I'm droning with C, it's usually to kind of use as a bass line. So I have the choice between using a bass line or kind of droning an extra note in there if I want to do some technique. So everything that you said is 100%, 1,000%, 1,000,000% correct as far as myself, especially the anchoring. A lot of people will kind of tell you that, you know, don't anchor your fingers and stuff, because, you know, like, I've seen this a lot, especially guitar, you know, guitar players will tell you like, well, don't anchor your fingers in there. You're going to dampen the sound. You're going to do all this stuff. And we've talked about this ad nauseum before. But I like to use my pinky finger, not really those, my pinky and ring finger, you know, if that's what you like to do, more power to you and stuff. But I just like to use my, my pinky, because, my pinky is going to be enough to keep it stable, because, you know, these 3 fingers are gonna go like all over the place. A lot of the times the picking patterns tend to get kind of intense. So if my pinky finger is there, it can get as intense as it wants to, and it's still going to be stationary. You know, I'm not gonna move it too high up, it's not gonna be too far down, so on and so forth.
And using your pinky too also leaves your, like, I know you said you didn't like to use your ring finger, but it leaves it open for like doing,
yes, like certain... if I have to go with 4, if I have to like hit, you know, like all 4 strings at the same time, it gives me that option. Yeah,
like there's some U+ solos where I know people are kind of confused on like, you do like an arpeggio with all four of your fingers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to like,
yeah,
kind of. But then at that, when usually when you're doing that kind of thing, then the melody isn't like there, it's not a part of that mm-hmm. part, or mm-hmm. it's not on the A string, right? So you're not yeah. really like worried about it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of times where I use my pinky finger as like kind of as a beat one or any kind of beat accent and stuff. I would like kind of use this to do that. And we just did A Whole New World. So this pinky works out because as soon as that's done accenting the you know, the chord that I want to accent, I can just kind of drop it there, and then it leads me to the finger picking. So it like one action goes to the other. It's really like a great technique. I forgot how to do it.
that's also a thing too, is that anchoring your pinky is like it's not necessarily a bad technique, mm. and it is like it does actually help with stability, mm-hmm. but you don't also want to be the person who like they can't play if they don't anchor their pinky.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Because right now when you're playing mm-hmm. that, you're moving from like when you have to strum, you let go of the anchor, and then mm-hmm. you put it back down and stuff. So you want to be able to like be fluid with, you know, mm-hmm. moving back and forth between that.
Yeah, but you know, everything that you said, absolutely spot on. Just keep doing what you're doing. You're in the right track.
So mm-hmm. in addition to that, he also asked, or he said, I use a plastic thumb pick and two metal picks when I play a banjo. I've mm. never tried that on ukulele. I heard Aldrin discuss about using a plastic thumb pick. Mm. Has he ever tried the metal finger picks just to experiment?
I have, but then the metal finger picks usually are kind of curved this way, you know, like it's, sorry for you audio listeners and stuff, it's kind of from the pad to the nail, if you think about it that way. It's kind of going from the pad to the nail. And usually, like you, when you do finger picking, you're finger picking up, right? So I don't really like to use them because it limits, you know, it limits what I can do. It's gonna limit me from like from using my pointer finger as a strumming thing, because if I have that pick on my pointer finger, and if I strum, it's gonna catch on the down strum, you know, because it's kind of it's curved this way, right? So because it's curved that way, if I do my down strum, it's going to catch up right on the side. So it limits it to just doing finger picking. I don't mind using the thumb thing, and I've been seen to use thumb picks and stuff, which is totally fine. But those finger picks, I wouldn't really go for it because it limits what I can do. Banjo, that's, you know, totally fine because that's kind of the whole, you know, the whole thing, right? But with ukulele, finger picking is just like a small percentage of like what this whole thing can do, or what this thing should be able to do. It's like strumming is pretty much one of the like best things that you can do with the ukulele, and especially reentrant ones, because it gives you that ability to get, you know, to get kind of the same sound whether you strum down or up. So based on that, you can do a lot of really cool like rhythm patterns on the ukulele strumming wise, so you don't want to limit yourself with that pick.
That's why it's kind of funny when people say, like, come into Ukulele Underground and they say, I only want to learn how to pick. I don't want to learn how to strum. Yeah. Strumming is boring.
Strumming, and go away. Strum, go away.
It's like, it's okay, but you're kind of, like, cutting off, like, half of what you can do, you know? You're just saying, like, oh, no, I don't want half. I just want, you know, whatever. Which is fine, but, mm-hmm. yeah, just know that. Mm-hmm. Oh, but like he should, if he wants to experiment with trying those metal finger picks.
Yeah, you can. I mean, we're not telling you not to, you know, but like if you're asking me for my opinion and stuff, and that's why I don't use them.
Yeah.
But you can go ahead if your style is going to be primarily just finger picking and stuff, and you can make it work, by all means, go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we've kind of said that before. Yeah. Like ukulele is not one of those instruments where there is like mm-hmm. a very strong, like, you know,
you have to play
this way. It's not like classical guitar players mm-hmm. where like there's a strong heritage of exactly how you're supposed to play a classical mm-hmm. guitar. Ukulele mm-hmm. is very free form mm-hmm. and people do all kinds of weird stuff with it and some weird and amazing stuff mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. So like if you want to try doing things,
chopsticks.
Yeah. Most famously, I think James Hill with his chopsticks. where it wasn't ever done before, and then he did it, and then now everybody wants to be able to
imagine,
do that.
But like, imagine if we got that question on Thursday Live Lesson without having seen, like, if he never did that, and someone came up to us and said, like, I was thinking about shoving chopsticks into my, you know, my ukulele and just kind of banging on it and
stuff. Well, the answer would be like, the same, too. Like, just try it.
Try it, I guess. Go crazy. I mean, I wouldn't, but if you can come up with something good... And then look where he's at now.
But yeah, so it's like that where, you know, if you like playing your ukulele the way that you play it, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As long as it's not hindering you from doing what you want to do with the ukulele. Right. If you run into anything where it's like, I can't do what I have in my head for what I want to do with my ukulele, then you might have to adapt in order to do it.
I think,
or figure out that it's impossible, but I mean, most things that you can kind of imagine, you can try and see if it's possible.
I think a lot of times, like, people will try, you know, like piano or classical guitar or violin, and they feel like the lessons are like stiff and really, you know, like they tell you exactly what to do and stuff, and they're like, oh, but it's like so...
only use this finger for that.
But then a lot of times I think too, like, those teachers, they don't necessarily will tell you like, oh, you want to do this because it's like all about like efficiency of motion or something, you know. They don't explain the why, so there is like good reasons why they teach you that way. And I think like too, like, some of the stuff that we tell people, like, oh, you want to try and do it like this. It's like, a lot of times it's like, it's just efficiency, or it's because it produces this kind of tone that's what you're trying to go for, like, or that's what you're asking us you're trying to go for. So to do that, like, this is what we found to be the best way. But still, it's like...
still, it can do whatever you want, whatever feels comfortable for you. I mean, we have an example on Thursdays, like today... We usually have what's called the one-on-one coaching, and on the one-on-one coaching, we have a younger kid, you know, that goes there, and he strums with his middle finger. He goes like this, and like, you know, when he plays, and like, I've kind of, you know, said it all like constantly, like in passing, like, oh, maybe we can start using your pointer now, or maybe more fingers. But he keeps doing it. But I'm not gonna tell him like, no, stop that. Use your pointer, young
it's just
man.
More
it's like,
comfortable
no.
for
exactly.
him.
Exactly. If that's
in
what
particular,
he's, if that's what he's doing, he's making beautiful music. He sings really well and stuff. He strums, you know, and he's having fun with it. I'm not gonna go and tell him that, you know, what he's doing is wrong, because it's not. You know, like, he's making music, and I think that's the point, right? Like, to, you know, of playing gloves, making music. If he's doing it that way, more power to you. But I think later on, as he improves, he's going to realize that, oh, maybe I should start using more. But, you know, until that time comes.
And then by that point, too, it'll probably be kind of easy to switch. It's not like, you know, super hard to switch.
Right.
Well, like, you've also said that you kind of, like, you'll watch Jake do something, and then you won't get, like, a clear idea of what he's doing, but you're like, I think he's doing something like this.
That's true.
And you do the technique, right? And until you, like, actually see or talk to Jake, he's like, oh, this is what I'm doing. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I was, like, kind of close, but I was just, like, a little off.
But experimenting and trying stuff is, like, a huge part of improving.
That's kind of like the same story I heard of, like, DJ Qbert. Like, he's, because before, like, there's no videos, right? Videos of other people DJing or anything. So they just hear recordings of other people DJing, and they're like, oh, I think he's doing this. And then when they would meet each other, they'd be like, what are you doing? What? No, I don't do that at all. You're doing it completely different from me. But it's like, oh, that's pretty cool, though. It makes a different sound. So, like, I'll add that, and I'll trade it with you. It ends up becoming, like, new things, too.
Yeah. Well, what was the... There was a song, like, on the Pure Heart album where I think it was Mark figured it out. It was, like, I think it was, like, a harmony. Like, how are they doing that harmony? And he was playing it all at once. But in the recording, they just, like, recorded it separately. It was something like that, I think, where he figured out, or I don't know what song it was. Yeah, there was, like, a song where he heard it, and he was like, how is he doing that? And he figured out a way to play it both at the same time, but then he, like, come to find out later that they just, like, recorded it separately. But, like, now Mark or like you or whatever, you guys can play it better than the original person because they wouldn't be able to do that all at once.
I mean, I don't know if it's the right one, but I have an example of that.
I don't know if this is
the one, which is G Minor Fleas. Because G Minor Fleas is a duo between Herb Alter Jr. and Brian Tolentino.
Maybe it was that.
They used to, I mean, Makalea, when it was just Mark and Ryan and Mike, like, used to play that song, and, you know, he's just listening to it. Like, he doesn't know that it's,
he
like,
didn't
two,
know that yeah,
it was
people.
Like, two guys, like, playing it. So he played it, like, so instead of going... And then the next one is a...
Yeah,
like
yeah,
he just
yeah.
played it like that.
Because
but then
that's
it's
what
like,
he heard.
Yeah, Brian and, you know... And,
oh, it was...
Yeah,
oh,
so okay. that... It wasn't until I joined the band
that you guys could do the boat separately.
So he was trying to do that. I was like, oh, there's two parts. You know, there's two parts, right? And then like, I played the bottom one. He's like, oh my god, I've been playing like this the whole time. I'm like, don't stop working so hard. Like,
maybe that's now, what you know? It was that I was thinking of, but
yeah. But it might be something else because he's done that a bunch, like,
yeah,
a bunch of different like a bunch of different songs
where he heard heard two people playing and he. Just thought just, that it was yep. one person playing, and then he figured that out. Whereas prior to that, nobody had ever done it at the same time.
But like trying that, it didn't make him like a worse player.
It makes you a better player, in fact.
So it's definitely something that if there's like something you want to try, like you should just do it. Don't let somebody else tell you until they give you a reason. Like I think the last live lesson that we had, we were telling a person who sent in like a review, like, oh, you just might want to straighten your wrist because having a crooked wrist leads to you know, wrist injuries.
Yeah,
and so just to alleviate that, that's like something you might want to do.
Yeah, it's those things that that kind of concern me, is like positioning and stuff, where I'm like, oh man, that's gonna cause some problems later on. But then like, play however you want, you know.
Yeah,
whatever's comfortable. If it's if it's not bothering you, or like, you know, it doesn't feel uncomfortable.
Yeah,
but that just kind of makes me think maybe we should get Mark on one of these days if he's ever off. we should get him on because that was kind of like that. He learned ukulele in a time before, you know, before lessons were like super popular, and it was kind of like that Wild West of figuring out ukulele. Yeah. Still, you know,
that's where we all came from.
I think there's like several people who it's just like, oh, if we could get them on live lesson or something, right? Because like the way that we teach and then the way that a lot of people learn, it's like you can hear like a lot of people in Hawaii learn from like just feeling.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
like the feeling and not thinking about things or not breaking down things like, okay, I need to learn it in this, you know, set pattern or in this, you know, gotta really break it down into stuff. I know, like, I think I told a story before where like, my dad had a friend who was, like, a really good slack key guitarist. Mm. And he said that the way he learned was he learned how to play on, like, a three-string guitar because, like, three of the strings were broken. And he was, like, playing. Yeah. And as, like, a kid, he was playing. Yeah. And his parents were musicians. Mm. And his dad, like, heard, like, who's that? Who's playing? And they like opened up the closet, and he was like playing in the closet with a three-string guitar. And they're like, "Why are you playing that? That's broken. Here, like, I'll give you an actual guitar now and teach you how to play." But
that's cool.
Like, you know, and that's all from him, like
just
listening
to music.
And not like sitting down in front of somebody and having them go like, "Okay, you want to do this and this and this." It's just like I'm gonna just listen to whatever my dad plays and try and recreate it.
Noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of special guests, we have a special guest next month. Since June's almost over, next month we have he also has a podcast. We have Abe. Abe. Sorry, not Abe. Definitely not Abe. Wrong. The Grimace is not you. Okay. Not
you. Wait your turn.
You wait your turn, Abe. The Grimace, sit down. Abe has his own ukulele podcast. Yeah. He's going to be joining us.
Abe.
So it's nice. It's kind of our first crossover. We've never had a crossover before.
Yeah.
So all you
podcast
comics, all you comics fans, we have a crossover with another ukulele podcast. I think Abe is ukulele. What is it called? Do you remember what it's called?
I think it's ukulele Abe, right?
Ukulele Abe. Yeah, so check him out. We're gonna have him in I think in like three.
But
three
spelled weeks. Like Abe.
Yeah,
Abe. Yeah. But so you pronounce it.
Sit down, Legrimus. Not talking about you.
Now, although we do need to get Abe.
Yeah,
on
we will. We'll get you. We'll get you, Abe. We'll get you. So yeah, so pretty soon, you know, we're excited. He's actually, I think he's flying to Hawaii in general just to kind of do some of the ukulele stuff, and he's flying special just to do the podcast. And then, because I don't think he's staying, I think he's coming in and he's leaving the same day.
Oh, okay.
That's what's happening. We coordinated, and I was like, yeah, come to my, come to the podcast. And I think we're doing his too, so.
Oh, nice.
It's gonna be cool. It's gonna be really fun podcast filled day. We're gonna be talking a lot of ukulele that day, so we should just. We should just do live his podcast so our guys can see it live, and then while he records it, and then we do the Thursday live. And then everyone can just watch 2 hours of four guys talking.
Yeah.
Well, we can,
hot, sweaty room.
Yeah. We can see. And like we should like treat him to something, so maybe we'll eat live too.
Oh yeah, maybe we'll do an ASMR. It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I've chatted with him like via Twitter and stuff. He seems like a really cool dude, so I'm stoked to kind of have him on the show. And yeah, be good crossover. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. What's your favorite crossover, Kai? And why is it Street Fighter and Tekken?
Because I love Street Fighter, and Tekken's okay.
What's your favorite crossover?
I don't know. I can only think of fighting games now. I don't know what other crossover.
And why is it Adrien and Akila Strings?
it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Usagi Yojimbo. They did a crossover.
Yes, I remember that. Yep. Stan Sakai, he's the man.
That is a Hawaii pull, right?
Yeah. Like, that's pull. Stan's our boy. Stan, he's one of us. He's one of ours. How about you, Aaron? What's your favorite crossover? TV, whatever, like music.
What Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle crossover do you think?
Yeah, what's your favorite crossover? Movies, TV, music, anything?
I don't know.
Video games, maybe?
I don't know.
Avengers is the safest answer.
Because I'm not really into any... Mm.
How about music collaborations? Like, what's two musicians that you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. I didn't think that would mix it up.
That's pretty cool.
What's a musical...
Can't really come up with anything on the spot.
Was it...
Well, any of the...
Elton John and Eminem?
No. Elton John and Tupac.
Yeah. Oh, snap. Yeah, that's right. You told me about that. Yeah. I'm still yet to listen to that.
Ghetto Gospel.
Oh, snap.
Which was NSFW. Orchestrated by Eminem. Yeah.
Oh.
I think Eminem was the producer on that.
Oh, there's two X's. Yeah. So there's Elton John X Tupac X Eminem.
Yeah.
Oh. That's being greedy, man. Right on. So let's take another question.
This one is from Jameson, and he said, can you show chunking again? Mm-hmm. Is it a beginner strum?
I mean, it's... Beginner strums are basically down, up, down, or down, 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 down. Once you start getting into these things, they're, you know, they're like beginner going to intermediate because you're starting to add technique to your stuff, yeah? So beginner strumming is no technique at all, is how I view it, you know? And intermediate strumming is adding some chunks and some rolls and getting kind of a little bit fancy in there. And then more advanced stuff, it's like the 10-finger roll and all these unnecessary things, okay? Like, you don't even need that stuff. So chunking, basically, if you have, I tell people this, if you have good form, chunking should be easy. The good form is to kind of point to where you're going to strum, which is usually right here. If you point to yourself, that's going to be an up strum. You point down to the ground, that's going to be your down strum. So it's like this. And when you point down to the ground, notice my thumb is right here. And all you're going to do is you're going to strum down, and as you follow through, the thumb's going to stop it like this. And it's a more effective use of more fingers. So this is the part that people kind of, you know, people miss, is the more fingers you use, the more effective the chunk is. So if I was kind of strumming with my pointer finger on the C, and I wanted to have a nice big chunk in there, I'm going to use all four fingers. If you use more fingers, you're getting more of that chunk. You can use two if you want to, but it's like the thinner it's gonna get. So the more fingers you use, the better. Because, you know, don't when we tell people point to yourself, point out to the ground, a lot of people like they interpret that as like, you know, make a point and stuff and close your fist and you point to yourself and you point down. Not really, like just kind of relax. You know, it's just pointer finger is going to point to yourself, but that doesn't mean the other, you know, three fingers kind of have to do this. I'm just doing this to kind of get it out of the way so you can see the point and point down to the ground. So this kind of open hand, very relaxed hand, your wrist is relaxed, but it's mainly going to be the wrist. See that? I'm using my pointer finger to strum, but notice my other fingers are kind of nearby. So when I do the chomp, I just kind of, you know, like coil up the rest of my hand and then do the down. So from this, and another important aspect of this is not just kind of pointing to yourself, pointing down to the ground, but the way that you twist your wrist. So when you point to yourself, when you point down to the ground, you're not going point to myself, not point down to the ground this way, you know, with your forearm doing that, it's your wrist is kind of moving back and forth. So when you move your wrist down to point to the ground, you're kind of doing this, looking at your open palm this way almost, and then looking at the other side of your palm. I like to say, looking at your nails like a construction worker, and then salon, like that. So watch, oh, salon right there, my thumb. Bam, salon. So from yourself, down to your, so from open palm, back of the hand, open palm, back of the hand. So all of that should be super helpful in trying to learn the chomp. Yeah. A lot of people have a hard time with that, and that's as best as I can, you know, put it out there.
I think it's more just if you just think about focusing, mm-hmm. like making sure that the thumb kind of mm-hmm. covers all the strings, mm-hmm. And then just, I guess, if you're just focusing on that, making sure the thumb lands perfectly,
yeah.
then everything else just follows, kind of yeah. follows, right? You just yeah. want your thumb... In fact, you can kind of do it without yeah. even hitting the strings. You're just like,
yeah,
you know, it won't make much of a sound, but yeah.
Well, you're just hitting with your thumb.
As long as your thumb kind of contacts, yeah. it stops the strings because you're going to be strumming before yeah. that. And then, yeah.
I think...
You're just stopping the strings, basically. Mm-hmm. It's just part of that motion.
I think the biggest misconception, though, people have about chunks... is that it's two motions, right? Yeah. That it's like you hit the string and then you got to put it down.
Yeah, yeah, it's one motion. It's
pretty much one motion.
Boom, and then stop.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what it isn't. Like stopping the strings with your open palm. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely not what it is. Like anyone else teaches you like, oh yeah, just stop it like this in the palm. Like, no. Yeah, you show them to me and I will scold them for it. Shake my finger. Be like, Well, don't do that.
You don't want to do that because yeah. it makes it... The chunk is supposed to be a replacement for yeah. down strums. Yes. And if you use your open palm...
Stops it.
Can't it's really...
It's not that same yeah. motion.
No. Yeah. Then that means you're out of position.
Like, and you, yeah. And what a lot of times what happens with the chunk is you'll do a chunk and then yeah. an up. And yeah. if you try to do a palm and then up... Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. some people can, but then if you listen to them...
Yeah.
they're like a second late and that mm-hmm. second counts
yes
like
yes.
in playing. So it's just something that yeah you if
yeah.
you can try to avoid like yeah. just playing like that, just yeah it's not, better.
I mean, we're not saying that don't ever do this, you know, because you can, but that's just not the chunk. You know, if someone's gonna say like, oh, this is the chunk, it's like, it's not the chunk. That's something, you know, but it's definitely not the chunk. Because I know some people will be like, oh, well, you know, I play flamenco and we do this and we do like, you know, we do this kind of stop. Like, do that kind of thing, mm-hmm. but it's not the same. It's not the same yeah. technique. It's a totally different technique. So, you know, if you're playing flamenco and you're kind of doing that. I watch a lot of Coco. And, you know, what's cool about Coco is... the animation and the characters, like playing guitar, is spot active, on. Accurate. It's super yeah. accurate, and they do all those like super fancy like rasquedos and all those really? Fancy strums. And I watch, I'm like, that's pretty it's spot legit. On. I was yeah. telling Heather, I was like, that is legit, you know, yeah. like they're doing this like thing where he like stops like do this weird one. I'm like, okay, so he's slapping the you know, he's slapping his guitar and then he's doing that up strum from, you know, from there.
Like matching frame for frame.
Oh, hot dang.
From
like,
the reference
it's so good.
Video. Yeah.
So we're not saying, so before you even do that, we're not saying that this is not a technique or this is not a thing. Mm-hmm. We're just saying this is not a chunk.
Yeah.
Now move on.
Yeah. and too, the reason why a lot of people teach it like that. Yeah. It's just because it's the easier way, like, for them to, right? Like, to like,
get,
oh,
the, get the idea across. Yeah,
yeah, and, oh, this is the easy way to do the chunk. But it's like, oh, it's not really the chunk.
It's either that or just like what we've been saying this whole time. Like, other people will try to do, like, whatever technique. And they think that that's what we're doing, but it's not. A lot of, I mean? Like, I think, it could, I think could that has a lot that. To do with it. Yeah.
We also know, like, some teachers who's like, we know you know how to do the chunk, but you teach it differently than how you...
You actually do it. Yeah, because that's why. Like, because they think that that's, you know, that's what doing. They're doing, but that's actually not. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you look at, like,
slow down
motion,
the video,
of them playing, it's like, no, you're playing the chunk right, but just the way.
I didn't want to mention that. I got in trouble last time for, like, for mentioning stuff like that.
it's not one specific person.
Yeah,
too.
It's a lot.
It's like, yeah, and it's just, and I think that's, like, for a lot of, like, a lot of music teaching too, and if people are teaching instruments, you hear that in, like, even bass guitar or guitar, where they'll say, like, or like that anchoring thing, right? Like, they'll tell you, don't anchor your fingers. But then if you watch a lot of professional guitarists, like, they're anchoring their fingers all the time. Yeah. Why can they do that and I can't, right? And it's kind of like one of those old, like, traditions that, like, it kind of perpetuates, and then eventually somebody's like, oh, actually, that's doesn't really matter.
It's just easier. I mean, like, there is some, like, advantages in not, you know, not anchoring your fingers, but really, like, whatever will make music out of your instrument, like, just do it that way.
Yeah.
As long as you're not hurting yourself. That's, like, the number one thing. As long as you're not giving yourself an injury, it should be fine.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Next question.
So, Jim said, I'm interested in hearing your views and comments on improving accuracy and placement with similar or parallel notes. So, like, an example he gave is, like, the intro to Brown Eyed Girl, right?
Mm-hmm. Where you're changing the spacing between your two harmonized fingers. Yeah, so how do you improve accuracy for that when it kind of changes?
I mean, same thing that you would do with anything is really one at a time. And that's how I practice it. I know there are better ways to do that and stuff, but let's just go with the most traditional way. When I was first starting out, when I was learning that, I didn't learn, like, Brown Eyed Girl that way. I played Brown Eyed Girl. Because when you listen to Brown Eyed Girl by Kyle Crater Boys, it's the guitar playing that. Like, you know, in the intro. The guitar plays that. And the only time that the ukulele plays that riff is right at the end. And right at the end, the riff goes... You guys listen to it again. Tor Fernandez never go. He never plays that. Okay? So, based on that, I didn't learn it from that song. I learned it from, we also taught it here. It's Olinda Road. Where, like, Jake does do something like that. So, I did not have good accuracy when I was first doing that. And all I had to do was take it one step at a time. And it was, like, super tedious. I totally remember this. And just going... do that so over and over
between one set of notes to the other
next set of
and
notes
and just keep going back and forth and then starting from the beginning again and retracing your steps.
Like, I remember doing that for what seemed like hours, but I think it was days. Like, I want to say hours, but it's not. I did that a lot. And then, because it wasn't just that, that I'm like, okay, well, if I can do that on that key, I can do that. And then came a song by Pure Heart called Crazy Without You, because that's in the same album. Which I was not good at either. Same thing, I would go up.
just those two sets of notes just keep going back and forth.
Until, like, my fingers knew, like, okay, we get it. We get it.
Yeah.
And then...
You got it. The,
yeah.
The spacing difference.
Move it up again. And then I'm like, okay, well, how far does this, you know... I'll tell you my exact, like, you know, like, process. So I was like, okay, well, if I can do this... And then, you know, like, Jake kind of does... Okay, let's go back to In the Road. So if it's like... I can extend that to based
using
on
the same shapes.
Using the same shapes as Crazy Without You. And if you watch, I think Music Theory or something like that, where we talk about
the gaps and the
gaps. Yeah. No gap, 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 no gap, no gap, gap. And that's where that came from. It's because I practiced that over and over and over and over. And that was... Because I wasn't thinking of it as like, okay, well, it's the F note, then the G note, A note, B flat, C, then what is that? D, then E, then F and stuff. That would have saved so much time. But it's actually good because you're looking at it as the shapes instead, you know? I think it's like...
102.
Is it 102? Yeah.
I think so.
But it's like old, like the old 102. Not the new 102, the old 102. Okay.
The new 102 has it too, though.
Does it?
Yeah.
Did I teach Harmony that way?
Yeah.
No gap?
Oh. And you taught it.
102, week 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. You taught it with like the C and the E string and then the E and the A string too.
Okay, okay, okay. Yeah. And that's kind of how I figured that out. So that's a great question because like, I've completely forgotten about that until you just reminded me just now and how hard that was to get down. So I would, you know, I would advise you to kind of look at the pattern and then transpose it to a different key and just drill yourself over and over, and because that's the only way that you're gonna.
So those keys were F and G.
F and G, but you can do it in A too.
Okay.
Yeah. But then. Getting from the no gap to the gap is key. Cause you can always go gap to the next gap just fine.
Yeah,
but it's a no gap to the gap. Yeah. Do it with these two fingers, then do it with these two fingers. Which is even harder. So the no gap with these two fingers is ridiculous. And you're probably thinking, why would I do it like that? There's going to be times when you're gonna do it like that, and I'm not even joking you. Because for this particular one, there's like there's a part where I play the A with like that kind of open B. So instead of this kind of A, I'd want that, you know, I'd want that in there. So because I wanted that in there, and then I would do the that harmony line, doing it that way when I'm playing A. So yeah, just drills, man. I mean, like, so what? So how can we do that more efficiently and better, guys?
Well, I learned like the same thing on guitar, mm-hmm. like a lot. And it's you want it to be like the thing with like when you do a major scale, mm-hmm. right? Like, and how the major scale is a shape, and mm-hmm. where you can do it on any note really, mm-hmm. and not know, even if you don't know like and what note you're gonna play next is, right? Like in your head you can hear like, yeah. Oh, the next note is supposed mm-hmm. to be a whole step away, mm-hmm. so I'm gonna play two steps like ahead. Yes. So it's the same mm-hmm. thing with those things where it's just like you want that pattern really to be ingrained, mm-hmm. where it's like, okay, I have, you know, a gap here. Oh, no gap, no gap, 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 no gap, no gap,
yeah.
gap, gap.
Or
gap.
Actually, I mean, really, you're not even thinking about that at that mm-hmm. point. Your fingers are just moving because it kind of practiced it that many times where it just like moves automatically, right?
And I mean, and you see it too. Like, I mean, you see the patterns, and you see, like, if you depending on what key you're in, you would know that like the next one's gonna be this and this.
Yeah. So depending on where you start, you kind of know what the next one is and the one after that.
Yeah, and I would suggest like doing every single kind of technique that you would know. So for example, like just kind of doing playing it straight, or like sliding to it. And you can even do like pull-offs and stuff.
So for people who like want to start learning this, can you show them like what you just played, like that exact pattern, yeah. And then like,
and why?
Well, like it just going up, I think, and, yeah. And showing them
that. Okay, so the main basics of this is that you're playing your melody line notes on the E string. So if we're in a key of F, here's our F note. So in in the scale of F would be whole, whole, half, whole, 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 half. So let's just take a look at the first, four notes, which is this, 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 and this. Whole, whole, half, basically. From the F, whole, whole, half. Just that. Okay? Just for now. Now, in music, the thirds will give you a harmony. What that means is if you're playing one, so one, two, three, so, the third up, this will harmonize that one, which is, this is the same thing as this. So if you play those two notes together, they sound nice.
Yeah. So okay. You're playing the first note of the scale and the third note of the scale together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's harmony, kids. So if I move one up, then that means I have to move one up on the that same string. So here's my A string. So you're probably wondering, like, hey, you're moving two on the E string. Like, nope. As far as frets, yes, I'm moving two. But I'm talking about scales. The scale steps.
Notes in the scale.
Yeah, so scale, remember we said whole, whole, half? So for myself, this is the next one going up. And for here, remember the next one going up is this? It's one. So from here to here. That means this, if I go up one, be that.
Yeah, so that is the second note of the scale and the fourth note of the scale.
So together. 1 and 3, 2 and 4, which would mean 3 and 5, and then 4 and 6, 5 and 7, and 6 and 8. And you can go 7 and 2, basically, or 9. You could call it 9 if you want to. And 8 and 10.
So explain the no gap and gap thing.
What no gap
just
means?
Just really quickly, because we already have it.
Yeah, right. So what that means is that, like, if it's a visual thing. So if you're here, there's no gap between the first fret and the zero fret.
On the E and the A strings.
There's no, like, fret gap.
Yeah, fret gap. Yeah. So there is a gap here. See that right there? There's a gap. On the between the E and A, and there's another gap, and then no gap, and then gap. So it's no gap, 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 no gap, no gap, gap.
For me, like, the easy way that I remember it is that, well, like, the next step up is either gonna have a gap or no gap.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of times when I'm, like, I don't even know the key that I'm playing in, and I'm just, like, trying to figure it out, I'm like, yeah, shoot for one.
Try one or the other. Yeah. If it's not one, it's the other.
Yeah. Yeah. And then once you get the other, like, once you figure out that next one, it's like, okay, so if it's, like, there's two, I'm playing a gap and then another gap, then I know that the next one is going to be no gap, no gap, 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 no gap, gap, no gap, gap, gap. It kind of it always goes in twos, like no gap, gap, no gap, gap.
Another trick. So here's one. I don't know if I've ever revealed this. There's another magic reveal and stuff. Here's one that goes in my mind. And it's about scale shape. Not scale, but chord shapes. Mm-hmm. So F. Actually, this would be easier in G. So G. So you can kind of see the shape instead of the F. So you visually see the shape. The next time you're going to see the shape in the same key is for 4, which is up here. And then again at 5, which is up here. What that is a C and D. So G, C, D. Okay? So I know where C is and I know where D is. Those are the only two that's going to be the no gap. So this, you know, this first one we'll begin with, and then the others are going to be gap. The next gap is
it's going to follow the shape.
Follow the shape. And the next gap is going to follow the shape. Boom, boom, boom. That's something that I've always known, but I don't think I've ever
revealed
that to anybody. Hush, hush, hush. That was for free, guys.
Makes so much sense. Wow.
The gaps too; those have chords too, where they're the minor chords,
yes.
Right?
So, there's also the A minor and B minor. Yes.
So you can play the whole like chord. Effectively, that you can play the whole chord family.
Yeah.
Using just the G, G and then G minor chord shape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I think guys might just Bluetooth. Like
that makes sense too. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. Because that's totally what I do also.
That's how you think of it in your head.
I've always like kind of looked at it that way. That's how I always know where the no gaps are going to be.
Okay.
That's also a thing too.
Sorry, audio listeners.
For you plus on that one.
Yeah, it makes a lot more sense if you can see this. Mm-hmm.
That's also something that I use like in I don't think we talked about it before. I use that for, like, if I have to improvise or I have to pick something, I'll just play those chord shapes.
Yeah. We hear, like, we hear a lot of, like, ukulele players do that.
Yeah.
You know? And it's based on that shape.
Yeah.
So, just kind of using those shapes a lot. Yeah. Makes it easier to kind of know where the no gaps are going to be.
And then it's just like sprinkling into if you're playing, like, say you're playing a song where it's like going from G to D, then it's just like, oh, I'll play like a little bit of A minor here, a little bit of B minor here, and then making sure I land back on the G chord shape or whatever. So it's like, I think a lot of people, like, when they look at how much notes you play, it seems like a lot. But
it's the same, like.
Yeah, you're just basing it off of shapes more so than individual notes,
and
like, you know, these notes go together, so I'm gonna play them,
and that's where
stagger
like,
them somehow. Yeah,
that's where too, like, people like think that when you're playing you're thinking about stuff, but then like if you think about it with shapes instead and you play it with shapes, it's more about like muscle memory, right?
Yeah
Because then you're like just like, oh, then I know I gotta move my both of my fingers two frets up, or I gotta move one of my fingers, one fret up, and I'll keep the other one like this. So, a lot of times I think that's where people say like, oh, you just gotta learn by feel, and that's like where you're feeling it. But then a lot of it is too like muscle memory, and just you get so used to playing these things, and it's not necessarily like the same song over and over, but it's just like the same patterns or the same things over and over that is like, oh yeah, It feels natural to play these things. It doesn't feel weird.
I feel like I might have more tricks up my sleeve. I kind of want to see if I can do a solo Secrets 2, you know, like, see if there's more. Because there are a lot of like shortcuts, because Solo Secrets is basically a shortcut. Like, if you don't want to go through all that trouble of learning every single note and whatever, then we narrowed it down to like however many notes. And then if you don't want to bother learning however many different chords and stuff, we narrow it down to however many chords, you know, like we or how many shapes. I think we just narrow it down by shape and stuff. And I think there's a bunch of other like tips and tricks that that I think I can share enough for a volume 2. I gotta really
I gotta write it out,
man. Like, now that's kind of inspired me to like, man, I think I can. I think I can squeeze his brain just a little bit more. There's more juice in his brain. It's been 10, 11 years, but there's still a little bit of juice.
And I think it's those things too. Like, if people spent like a lot of time learning, eventually they'll come to the same results, right? Yeah. Like, they'll come to it naturally. They should. Yeah. But then, it's just like, oh, like, we'll just give it to you now so you don't have to spend...
It's the season pass, guys. Whatever it is. You know, like, you video gamers out there, you know what I'm talking about. You buy the season pass, unlocks everything.
The other thing for Jim, too, though, learning about, like, where exactly to place your fingers and position... Something that is probably going to help you a lot is getting it wrong. Because when you get it wrong and you hear that the harmony is not right, then you're like,
you don't want to do that again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know for sure now that I have to play it like this every single time. So you shouldn't be afraid to, you know, not be precise.
Yeah.
Like, it's just that's how you're going to start. And then
you can feel it in your body that it's wrong. Yeah. That's where you learn. That's what...
I know people like are uncomfortable with like playing it like that, but yeah, that's where like Victor Wooten says, like, you know what people should learn how to solo on or like improvise on? The chromatic scale. Because when you learn to do that, then you're not afraid of any note, right? No. And you know how to like fix anything that you play. So
yeah.
It's the same thing too. Yeah.
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 Yeah. All right. So yeah, any last minute questions that we may have? Hopefully this makes up for us not showing our songs.
I think that was pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, we have a few more minutes and stuff. Kai, is there any business that we want to talk about?
I don't know. What is today's date? So pretty soon, the next monthly lesson is going to come out, right?
Yeah.
Like
I did a teaser July. On my Instagram for next month's lesson.
Oh, yeah.
I had my... costume.
I was wearing
my costume on Instagram, and my friend, good friend of mine, Uncle Ian, I was talking about yesterday, he came up to us in the show and he's like, dude, what were you doing with that on? Like, why were you dressed like that? I was like, it's for next month's lesson. It's for work. it's for work, basically. And he's like, I gotta see what's all about. It's fun.
There's the pride parade.
I should have said that instead.
I was just trying
to be supportive of the pride parade. And I do love those folks, by the way. I heard it was a success.
Really?
We had our Kauai had their
all
first
the organizers
yeah,
and
had
everything.
Their first pride parade, and good for them. It was just down the street, but I wanted to go check it out. So my Heather's like, oh, the kid's gonna sleep at like whatever time, like 9:30.
Grade starts at like 9 schedule.
And stuff. So I'm like, I want to just go there with myself and stuff. I don't, but I don't know. I didn't because I was like, I'll just hang out with my family instead. But I heard good things about it. So congratulations. So pride is a thing here in Kauai now, which is awesome because a lot of Hawaiian music, you know, like falsetto and just Hawaiian music in general and stuff. I think here in Hawaii, like, you know, having pride in whatever you identify as, like, has always been a thing. They've always been prideful and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like hatred towards that wasn't really a thing here.
Hawaii.
Not even like the Hawaii, olden days. Yeah, it's been super accepting. Yeah.
And Hawaii is like a kind of a big like cultural melting pot.
Mm-hmm.
So just like a lot of, I think, things that other people like might not experience because they don't experience other cultures, right? It's just like, I live right next to that guy. Like, I've known that all my life. I don't know what you're talking about.
So it's cool. I
think unintentionally, like the song we're gonna do, right?
Yeah.
There's a movie coming out too.
Yes.
So that was like, oh yeah, that was planned all
that
this
was
time.
Planned all along. But I'm looking at Aaron's beautiful shirt right here, and I kind of want to talk about this.
In 1 month, we'll be here.
Yeah, so in 1 month, we will be at the San Francisco. It's no longer called the Uktoberfest. It's a summer Uke Fest.
Not in October.
It's basically the same exact festival with the same exact people.
Yeah.
It's going to be us. It's going to be Cynthia Lynn. It's going to be Ukuleni. It's going to be Steven Espanol. It's going to be Craig and Sarah. It's going to be Abe Lagrimas. Now you can stand up, Abe. Now we're talking about you, buddy. So it's going to be us. It's going to be awesome. We love it. This is gonna be our third time doing this one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're gonna keep doing it because Cynthia lives in Hawaii now. Like, she doesn't live in San Francisco anymore, and that must have been tough on on her and her crew to kind of set this up with her being so far away. But she's actually really good with all that hands-on kind of stuff, so
yeah.
I mean, I would go to this. Do yourself a favor. Go to the San Francisco Summer Uke Fest. So I think it's sfukefest.com. sfukefest.com. So check that out. July 27th to the 28th. It's going to be good fun. There's going to be like workshops, going to be jams, going to be performances and stuff. It's going to be meet and greets. It's going to be great. I mean, the meet and greet is basically, hey, I'll drink. You come here for a second. Like, that's the meet and greet. Don't worry. I don't care if I'm halfway through my, through my musubi. I'll come by you and hang out and stuff. Not like some people, Kai. Kai charges like $5 for all of that.
And Kahai will be there too.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You will be there. Don't charge people. Can you say right now on the microphone that you're not gonna charge anyone?
No. at Denver, I didn't even eat.
So you're saying you're so popular. It's so high in demand.
When everybody else went to eat, I stayed and hung out, and there's nobody else there. I still stayed and hung out, just in case.
just to make sure the booth was safe. Yeah. Right on, yeah, so it's going to be good fun. It's going to be the three of us. If you ever want to say hi to Kai, he will be there. I will be there. You know, if you want to ask me stuff about video games and, you know, and what else? Tennis? What? I was going to say cards. You can ask Kai about cards. They don't come to me about that stuff. And, you know, Aaron's going to be there. He can give you some, like, fitness tips and stuff. And, yeah. Like, how do I effectively run a marathon?
Or, you know, you could...
Oh, actually, the San Francisco Marathon is that weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Too. Yeah.
Oh, no, you're not going to do it. Obviously. You know, I need him in full strength at the end of the day. I don't want him, like, sitting down in a chair while we do our set.
You can ask us about ukulele too.
Yeah, oh yeah, I guess.
If you want to.
I mean, go ahead and ask Mr. Lagrimas about that. Yeah, if you want, if you ukulele questions, it's a Craig and Sarah's for.
Yeah. There's tickets available, mm-hmm. and then it looks like the jam on Saturday is gonna just be free.
Yeah, but that's like RSVP now because. They have a huge group. Mm-hmm. That San Francisco ukulele group is huge, and I think those guys got to it first. So I don't know how much is left for that Ukesplosion jam. She really knows how to market, man. They're marketing Ukesplosion jam. So good stuff. It's fun. Those guys are great. They're good fun, and San Francisco is an awesome crowd. So
yeah, we're hoping we can do some stuff while we're there and hang out with people. So yeah, we're looking forward to it too.
Yeah, we're looking to hang out. So, what can they look forward to, Kai, when they meet you?
I don't know.
Can they go like this? They just like make eye contact with you, like from across the room, and they go like this.
No, I'm really bad at that. But if you specifically ask for it, yeah. Because like even Alan, who's like our longtime member, who I would say is actually like. Our friend, like we're friends.
Yeah.
And he came up and he's like, oh, it's so nice to meet you finally. I shook his hand and then he's like, oh man, I gotta give you a hug. And I was like, yeah, I should give you a hug. it has been a
bring it in, yeah. Bring it in, Alan. Bring it in.
I'm super. If you want a very awkward experience, you can come say hi to me because that's pretty much it.
The marathon's over at 10 a.m., man. You can run the marathon and go do the rest of the festivities, I guess. But right on, guys. Thank you so much for joining us here on Thursday Live Lesson. We all had fun. We answered some pretty cool questions. I hope you guys learned a thing or two. Check out ukuleleontheground.com. If you guys are listening via podcast, make sure you sign up for UU Plus to take your ukulele playing to the next level. And watch this episode. You know, if you sign up for UU Plus, you get to watch this as a video. So all the stuff that we talked about in this episode, you can totally check those out. Go to UU Plus for that. Okay, this is Aldrin. See you folks next time. Stick around for the one-on-one coaching, and tomorrow we will have Aloha Friday Live Jam. Aloha.